For those of you who don't know me, and I'm so glad to continue our series we've called Jump In. And it's been kind of a fun series so far, talking about jumping in with both feet for the Lord, and it's been a cool time. And I'm so glad that you're here as we get into part three. This message this morning is called Devoted. Can you say the word devoted?
Devoted.
Now, I want to ask you, because I know we've got a lot of devoted baseball fans. I know we've actually got one Cubbies fan in the back. How many of you guys like... Now, besides the Cubs, how many of you are baseball fans? You like the game of baseball. You like watching it. You like hearing about it. You like playing it maybe when you were younger. See, I have always loved the game of baseball. There's something about it that's just, maybe it's because of the joy of it as a kid playing baseball. But I always enjoyed playing baseball as a little kid, not so much anymore. But I also loved watching baseball. And there's nothing more exciting than watching baseball during October when the playoffs are happening and the World Series is going on. And now, one of the things I love about baseball is it's got a very specific goal, right? The goal of baseball is to score more runs than the team on the other side, right? That's the goal of baseball. But there's a lot of things that you could do that are important in baseball. Now, to score runs, don't you know, you've got to get on base. But getting on base is not the goal of baseball. It's not the whole end all be all. Getting on base is very important. You got to get on base to score runs. But getting on base is not the end of it. Now, hang on with me if you're like, why is he talking about baseball? I'll get there. I'll make a point, I swear. See, at the end of the game, the team doesn't celebrate for having the most number of hits. The team doesn't celebrate for getting the most number of runners on base. They celebrate for scoring the most runs, for getting their runner on base and then getting to that next base and then getting to that next base and then finally coming all the way home and scoring a run. And sometimes as a church, I believe we stop and celebrate when we get runners on base, but we haven't looked at the big picture of what is the most important thing to do. And we miss out on some of the most important part of the process. So I want to take a few minutes this morning before we get into our scripture that's really going to talk a little bit about this and just talk about what does it look like for us to win? What does it look like for God's church to win? Because there are things that are important and then there are things that are really important. And so I want to talk about that, what a win looks like for us as a New Heart Church family when we celebrate. See, many of you know in baseball there's a couple different bases, there's three bases, and then you get home. So I want to use that beautiful analogy and talk about what does a win look like for us as a church family. And the very first base on that is when people begin to follow Jesus. That is our very first base. We celebrate, we cheer, we applaud when we get someone to that first base and they begin the life-transforming process of following Jesus Christ. That is a victory. And it's one that I hope to celebrate each and every week as we create opportunities and space for people to cross that line of faith, to get on that first base and say yes to Jesus Christ. And that's a huge victory. But that's not the only thing we do. That's our first base. Our second base is when we connect in community, when we allow folks to get connected and plugged in to the life of what God is doing here. And within the context of community, we grow. See, we don't grow just by ourselves. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. So as a church, we celebrate when men and women get plugged into community. They start getting their lives plugged in. See, because we can experience love and we can speak the truth in love to one another in the context of some sort of deep and abiding relationships. So that's an important part. And there's something important, and we're going to get into our scripture in just a few moments, that talks about this idea that there's something important about breaking bread and doing life with other people that are walking with Jesus. That's an important part of our spiritual process. So that is the second base. We celebrate when people decide to get plugged in and connected to community. But that's not the whole thing. So the next base is discovering purpose. See, as a church, we believe that God has so created each one of us with a purpose. And it's our desire, it's my desire as your pastor, and it's our desire as a church to help people discover their purpose. I love your hair, by the way. Looks great. Good to see you. We want to help people discover their purpose. That's an important part of our process. And this is kind of something new in our process. We have had a class called Connect Class that has kind of helped people to discover that. But we've kind of actually reformulated, we've kind of changed kind of some of the curriculum because I'm really passionate about helping you to discover how has God shaped you? What is the design that God has put in you? What are the gifts that he's put in you? What are the strengths he's given you? And we've created our Next Steps class that is a process that allows you to discover what God has made you to do, who he's made you to be. And it's something that I think is super important for us. In fact, I'm so committed to it that I'm asking each and every person that's part of New Heart, that's part of our family, to go through our Next Steps growth track. Because I think it's something that's so important that we all learn a little bit about ourselves. How has God shaped me? What are the gifts that he's put inside me? How has he created me uniquely that I might contribute to the larger body of Christ and what God is doing? So our next steps is kind of that third base, people discovering their purpose. And that's an important part of the process. Again, as I said, we're going to start offering that class every month. So here as a church, we're going to be offering that Next Steps class for people to go through that process and discover their purpose of what God has made them to do. We're actually going to start that next month on November 6th. So you can mark your calendar. November 6th, we're going to do it at 12 o'clock. And I want to encourage every single person that's part of our church family to make that commitment to go through that. And we're going to, again, offer that every month. See, because we celebrate when God's people, first of all, start following Jesus, when people follow Jesus. We celebrate when they plug in and start connecting with Christian community. And we celebrate when they discover the purpose that God has created them for. And the home plate, of course, is our next base, and that is an important part of the process. And home plate is making a difference through serving. And that is something that we want to celebrate, and we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to serve. And not just to do things that the church needs done, but to find our purpose and find how God's made us and find out how we can fulfill that purpose within the context of serving in God's house. And that's an important part. See, because when you're doing what God has made you to do, I'll tell you, friends, there's a lot of work in me creating messages and preparing to teach, but it's what I was made to do. So there's nothing more rewarding for me than to do that, and I want that same thing for every man, woman, or child who walks through the doors of our church, that they be doing what they're made to do. And I want us to encourage you to do just that. So this morning, we're going to continue looking at our scripture. I wanted to give you a quick recap of what I see are those bases of things that we celebrate with the ultimate goal of every one of us doing what God has made us to do. Because it's not just enough to say, I said yes to Jesus. Jesus calls us to make disciples. And disciples are active. We're walking with Jesus. We're learning and growing and understanding what he's made us to do. And so that's an important part of the process. So with that out of the way, I want to kind of dig into our scripture this morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to pick up our scripture in verse 42, so you can find your way there. And as we discuss this issue of jumping in, I'm just going to give you a quick recap of where we are in the story. So God has shown up. He's filled his people with the power of the Holy Spirit. And a multitude of people have gathered together to say, what's going on? What's happening? And as we learned about last week, 3,000 people came to faith. It was an amazing thing that happened. This small movement of God's people, man, 3,000 people came to faith. And now we're left with the question, well, now what? And that's where we pick up our story in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, one of my favorite scriptures of all times. It says this, and they devoted themselves. Will you say devoted themselves?
Devoted themselves.
That was good. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the prophets. See, what we see is this. We see that there's something important that takes place. There's a shift that happens within these new people who have said, I want to follow Jesus. They got on base. They got onto that first base. They said, I want to follow Jesus. They got baptized. They declared publicly, this is the way for me. I'm following him. But then something shifts in what they're doing. And it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. See, here's the big idea. You are the spiritual engine you are the engine of spiritual growth in your own life. You are the engine of spiritual growth. And what we see in our scripture here and what we know from experience is that no one can force us or push us or nudge us into following and to growing in our relationship with God. Well, there's something important about us gathering together and being encouraged and worshiping. But at the end of the day, we've got to make a decision. Am I going to follow Jesus? Am I going to walk in the ways of God and pursue God with my life or not? See, the reality is that we can't survive on just one meal a day or one meal a week. Some of us couldn't survive one meal a day. I probably could, but I know my kids would certainly die. But we couldn't survive on one meal a week. Yet so many of us, we come to church on Sunday and we get spiritually nourished, and then we go throughout our lives without pursuing God, without feeding on the things of God throughout the week. And here's the big idea. If you're taking notes, the first giant fill in the blank is, as a follower of Jesus, I must take ownership of my own spiritual growth. As a follower of Jesus, I've got to take ownership. I've got to own it, my spiritual growth. See, our scripture this morning says that they devoted themselves. It doesn't say the pastors devoted them. It doesn't say the pastors nudged them. It doesn't say that there was some leader in their lives that pulled them along and forced them to the water trough, so to speak. It says they devoted themselves. See, you and me, we got to own that. We do. See, there's going to be coaches and there's going to be pastors and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers in our life that are going to encourage us to pursue God. But we have to own this part of the process. We got to choose to put ourselves in the game. And this is one of my favorite scriptures to teach. And every time I come to this passage of scripture, I'm both encouraged and totally challenged at the same time. I'm encouraged because I see that men and women, man, they take on ownership and they start devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devote themselves to connecting in community, breaking bread together. They devote themselves, but I'm challenged because, man, there is so much to this process. And what I love about this story is that this is my story. See, I never grew up in church as a kid. I had two great parents, a great mom, a great dad, who grew up in different church settings. They have their own stories to tell, but we weren't a church family. We weren't a Christian family. We were a good family, whatever that means, but we were not a Christian family. And so I grew up without the context of church and what that looks like. And when I was in high school, I was invited by someone who cared enough about me to invite me to a church event. It was actually a youth group event. And it was some sort of event they were doing. And they cared enough about me to say, hey, would you like to come with me? It's pretty cool. And they talk about Jesus, but it's still cool. And okay, so I went. And as a result of that invitation, I met Jesus. And I met Jesus, and I made the decision to walk forward. We didn't just get to raise our hands in those days. We had to walk all the way down front, and it was embarrassing. But I said, you know what? I'm gonna follow this Jesus guy. I'm going to give it a try. And I did. And just like that, just like the brand new Christians in our story, I didn't really have like a fancy program. There was a lot of people that got saved the same night as me. There wasn't a program in place to take us to that next step. And so I found myself saying, well, I want to follow this Jesus guy. So what do you do? I went to the bookstore and I bought the biggest Bible I could find. It was a giant Bible because, you know, the bigger it is, the holier it is, right? That's what I was thinking. Like, you know, I need the biggest Bible I can find. I need a lot of Jesus. So I bought the biggest one I could, and then I got one of those black leather, the covers for the Bible. You guys remember those things? Yeah. Maybe some of you are still carrying one of those. George, I think you got one, right? No? I still have mine somewhere, but I went, and man, I got all the stuff. All the stuff I thought I was going to need. I went and bought highlighters and underliners and all kinds of cool stuff because I was committed that I was going to learn more about this Jesus man, and I was going to walk and follow after him. See, I'd put my faith in Jesus. I was devoted to it, and I was devoted to learning more about God. I was devoted to growing, to becoming more like this man, Jesus, who lived a perfect life, the sort of life that I had always longed for, a life that was without sin. And he was inside of me now. God had promised me, he had given me his Holy Spirit to help me to live this new kind of life. So I did all of those things, and I don't know, maybe like you, I didn't like to read. In fact, I hated to read. How many of you guys are not readers? You don't love to read. And I was like, I don't really like to read. I was a high school student, so even less so than I am now. But I didn't really like to read, but I said, you know what? I'm going to dig in. And I got into a Bible reading plan. I said, I'm going to learn more. I want to just daily get into this book and figure out what God is saying. And I figured, man, if I could just read this book cover to cover, then I would have all the answers. And so I committed myself to doing that, and I read the Bible. course, like some of us, I realized that I got to the end and there was still a lot I didn't understand. I needed to read it again and again and again. I needed to understand it more deeply. See, I came to Jesus, and that was a win. And then I decided I was going to connect myself. I was going to start walking with these other men and women, these boys and girls, really, these teens that were following Jesus. That was a win. Then I discovered my purpose. Along the way, I discovered that God had created me to share this good news with others, to lead people in following after Jesus. Somewhere along the way, I discovered that purpose, and that was a huge win in my life. And then I got plugged in, and as a high schooler, I began serving. I began teaching these junior hires who were so much younger than me at the time, and I was so much further along than them, but God began to open up those doors for me to not only start walking in community and start connecting with others that were a little further along than me, but he also gave me opportunity to start serving those that were a little less far along than me and some that were just as far along with me. But I had a place of leadership, and God had put that gifting in my life to do. And that's my passion. That's my purpose as your pastor, is to help you to pursue what God has made you to do, to help you to find and discover your purpose and to walk it out, to open up the doors for you to begin serving in a way that is just right for what God has created you to do. And as a follower of Jesus, I've got to take ownership of my spiritual growth. I've got to say, Jesus, I'm going to take whatever the next step of faith is in following you, and I'm going to keep following you. So I've got to commit myself to learning, to connecting, and to growing in the ways of God. I want to share just three ways that we can be devoted from our scripture this morning. The first is this, if you're taking notes, there it is. Every believer must commit themselves to learning. We've got to commit ourselves to learning. It tells us that these early followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, I don't care if you're 15 or 150, if you're young or if you're old, if you've been met Jesus today, or you've been walking with him longer than I've been alive, all of us have to keep learning. Every single one of us have more to learn. See, what I discovered is when I began to come to this book, I realized, man, there's a lot of it I didn't understand, but I just kept taking what I could understand, and I'd keep coming back and saying, Lord, what does this mean? And we've got to commit ourselves to learning more about the things of God. See, I realized early on in my walk with Jesus, there was so much I didn't know. See, I thought I knew it all for a while, and then I realized I didn't know it all at all. I didn't know much at all. But there's a time in my life that I committed again to daily Bible reading, and I committed to a regimen of doing just that. And I want to challenge you, if you're not getting into this book every single day in some capacity, find a Bible reading plan. As a church, we're committed to the Life Journal reading plan, and we're reading together. I hope you would do that in your Bible app, or we've got, I know, printed copy somewhere around here. But I want to encourage you to get into the Bible and read every single day, to learn about the things of God, because it's something that's so important. See, our scripture says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And that's important, that we come together and we gather and we learn the things of God from others, that we go to teaching, we have teaching times. That's why we teach out of the Bible every Sunday morning when we gather, because I want you to learn the things of God. And there's something important about them submitting themselves to teaching, to godly teaching, to saying, I want to learn more about this Jesus, just Jesus guy. And more than just church gatherings, our scripture tells us that they broke bread daily, that they gathered around in their homes, and they talked about the things of God. It's one of the reasons we're so committed to community groups that gather around our city and break bread and open up the Bible and talk about the things of God. They read scripture together, and they pray together, and they break bread and just do life together. It's something that's so important to our faith. So I want to be a lifelong learner. It's something I learned a long time ago, this phrase, lifelong learner. I learned it from a man that was very wise. I said, man, I want to be like that guy. But he had this idea of becoming a lifelong learner, of never being settled with having enough knowledge or information. And I can just think of actually my wife's grandfather who was like this. Even to his dying days, he was learning about subjects that got him excited, that he was passionate about. And there's something important when we will become lifelong learners in the things of God. We'll say, God, I never want to stop learning about you, about who you are and what you're like. See, I want to be more knowledgeable and understanding today than I am yesterday. Don't you? Yes? You guys can talk back. It's okay. So the second way to become devoted, first we need to commit ourselves to being learners. The second thing is we've got to commit ourselves to community. We've got to commit ourselves to community. See, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, yes, and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. See, our passage uses this word fellowship. Now, I don't know about you, but we don't use that word a whole lot. You're not going to be at the supermarket talking about fellowship unless you're getting kind of a weird conversation, right? That's just not a word we use in our culture today outside the church. And quite honestly, we probably should use another word because it doesn't make sense to anyone else. But what is fellowship? See, is fellowship like a potluck dinner? Well, it could be. Is fellowship a training class? Yeah, it could be there. Is fellowship when we join a church? Well, it could be. Is fellowship becoming a Christian? Yeah, it's, I guess, part of that process of coming into the family. But the dictionary defines fellowship as this: companionship, friendly association, mutual sharing of experiences, of activities, of interest, a group of people with the same interest, or a brotherhood. Now, the Greek word that is used in the scriptures for fellowship is this word koinonia. And early Christians understood that this meant something that was common or shared, a common faith, a shared faith, something that we shared together. So fellowship means a common participation in something, either by giving what you have to the other person or receiving what he or she has. There's this commonality that I've got gifts that I'm going to share with you, and you've got gifts that you're going to share with others in our fellowship. And there's this idea that we share. The early church was devoted to fellowship, and early Christians, they met in the temple, and then they broke bread, and they committed their lives together. They had a commonality with their experience of following Jesus. And I believe that in order for us to see any sort of exponential growth, to see kind of what happened in Acts chapter 2 take place in our day and age, then we've got to be a people that are committed to fellowship, that are committed to that commonness, that we would devote ourselves to fellowship with one another. See, this is part of my core conviction that you and I are best cared for within the context of community. See, we can do life by ourselves, and it's okay as long as things are okay, but there's always times in our lives where we need other people. We need brothers and sisters to walk around us. And let me just say this bluntly. Hopefully this doesn't offend you. If you get hit by a bus tomorrow, are there people in this church family that are walking so closely with you that they would notice? Do you have a small group of people that are walking with you that know the details of your life so that when you have a problem, when you get hit by life's metaphoric bus, that you're going to have men and women that are standing around you, that can support you, that'll lift you up? See, because we need that sort of community. We're created for that sort of intimacy and closeness and openness and commonality with others. And I want to encourage you, if you're not, we're going to begin kicking off our small groups. Our small groups will continue through November, and then we're going to kick them back off in February. But don't wait. Don't wait to get plugged in. If you're interested and you don't have a group of people to surround yourself with, get signed up and plug into one of our small groups, because it's something that's so important. See, it's within the context of community that we can grow. And it's within the context of community that we can receive care and we can give care. And it's within context of community that God has created us to thrive. So three ways to be devoted. We've got to commit ourselves to learning. We've got to commit ourselves to community. And the third thing our scripture says is every believer must commit themselves to spiritual growth. See, it says they devoted themselves not only to the teaching, not only to the fellowship, not only to the breaking of bread with other brothers and sisters, but also to the prayers. See, there's no one on earth that will force you to read your Bible. Now, parents, you might be excluded if you're still living with mom and dad. They might force you to read your Bible. But for the most part, there's no one in our lives that's saying, you've got to do this. We've got to put that desire, we've got to have that desire built within us. No one will force you to grow spiritually or take those next steps of faith. I'm going to encourage you. There's other leaders in your life, if you're part of a small group, that are going to encourage you to take those next steps. If you've got other brothers and sisters sharpening you and rubbing shoulders with you, they're going to encourage you. But at the end of the day, you've got to say, God, I want to take those next steps of faith. God, I do want to grow spiritually. See, my job as a pastor is to equip you with those tools, the tools that you're going to need for this life of faith. My job is to inspire you to new levels of faith, to taking those big steps of faith to, as we're talking about, to jumping in, saying, God, I trust you. But at the end of the day, you've got to choose, am I going to take that next step, or am I going to just stay standing where I've been standing? And while I want to motivate you, and I want to encourage you and make opportunities, at the end of the day, you've got to make that decision. Now, as many of you know, I've got 4 boys. I love my boys to death, which makes life, you know, chaotic and loud. Every time I drive up to my house at the end of a work day or I'm driving from the store, man, it's like I get out of the car and I can hear it. The front windows are open and I can hear the screams and yells, and they're not even hurt, they're just communicating. But it makes life chaotic, and you know, there's something that I love that in this season of our family life, with a 6, a 4, a 2, and a 9-month-old, man, we've got, every day is like a new milestone for somebody in our household, right? There's always something new that's happening, and there's always something that's going on. And this week, my littlest, Evan, he decided that he wanted to both start climbing up on things and cruising on things. And this is like a picture that my wife took in absolute terror as this little one who can't even stand on his own strength is climbing up on top of a rocking chair. Because why not? It looks fun. So he started to do that thing, and my wife and I kind of created this monster, both literally and figuratively. But I mean, we've been walking with him. You get it. We've been walking with him, holding his hands and helping him to take those next steps, right? When you've got little ones or you see little kids, man, that's what they need. They need some sort of help to get off the ground and start being bipeds instead of being, you know, walking on 4 legs and crawling around. So we're holding his hands and we've been walking him around the house and helping him to take those next steps of faith. But let me tell you something. His mom and I giving him those tools, and maybe we bought him little walkers, so he's like walking around with his little thing. It's pretty funny to watch, but we got him the tools that he needed. But let me tell you something. Rebecca and I cannot make him walk. We cannot force him to, on his own, stand up and take that first step and then take the next step. That's got to be something that is driven within him. He's got to desire that thing himself. His mom and I are going to give him tools. We're going to hold his hands while he's young and teach him how to take those steps. But at the end of the day, he's got to make that decision. Now, do we want him to walk? Absolutely. I've seen some parents are like, no, get back down on the ground, kid. I don't want you to walk. But we want our kids to walk. We want them to start moving around and being free to explore and to give us gray hairs around our house. And we've got him the tools, but at the end of the day, he's got to have that desire within himself. And friends, I would say the same thing is true of you. We've got a God in heaven that wants you to grow. He wants you to take those next steps of faith, whatever they are in your life. And he's going to give you tools, and he's going to put people in your life that are going to encourage you, that are going to challenge you, that are going to really help you in that process. But you got to make that decision yourself. Proverbs 16:26 says this. It says, a worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. Don't you love that picture? Like, you just imagine a guy who's super hungry. He's like, I get to go to In-N-Out Burger after I'm done with this job. And so he's being propelled and led forward by his stomach. How many of you guys work like that? I work really well when I'm hungry and I'm getting ready to go to lunch. I'm like, I'm going to get this job done well so I don't have to come back, but I'm going to do it fast. And our hunger for God should move us forward. Our hunger for him should propel us and urge us to keep searching for him. See, my job as a pastor is to show you pictures like this, to show you a picture of a well-cooked steak, to show you what that looks like, or maybe a salad if you're into that kind of thing. It's off to the side. But my job is to show you a picture of a steak, to encourage you, to build in you that hunger for the things of God. But at the end of the day, you've got to decide whether or not you're going to be propelled forward by it, whether or not you're going to allow God to birth a hunger, a spiritual hunger that only He can satisfy, whether you're going to allow Him to birth a spiritual thirst that only His living water can satisfy. See, God wants to do that in our lives. He wants to encourage us. And unlike my little Eli or my little Evan or Eli or any of my kids, God has given us His Spirit. So this is not something that we have to do in our own strength. But we do have to take the brakes off, so to speak. Some of us have been standing with our foot on the brake pedal and we're like, I don't know why God isn't moving in my life. And we've got to take our foot off the brake. God will move us forward. He'll help us to take those next steps of faith. But we've got to decide in our heart, God, I'm not going to push the brake pedal anymore. I'm not going to resist what You want to do in my life. I want to take that next step of faith. Man, I want to get plugged in and walk with brothers and sisters that will share fellowship with me, that we can have a commonality of our faith, that we can, as Proverbs said, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God, I want to have men and women in my life that will do that. But I've been putting on the brakes, and I want to take off the brakes. For others of you, like, God, I really want to discover my purpose. I want to know what You've made me to do, but I've been resistant for one reason or another to make that next step of faith. I want to challenge you. We do our next steps class, sign up for it, or actually just show up for it. We're not even doing sign-ups. We're going to do the first Sunday of every month, and it's a four-week thing. Come check it out. But take those next steps of faith, whatever they are in your life, because there's something important that happens when we will devote ourselves. When we will say to God, God, I know You're going to give me the strength to take these next steps, but I'm choosing to devote myself to those next steps. I'm choosing to say, God, no more brake pedal for me. I'm going to stop resisting Your movement in my life. Because what will take place if we do that is God will help us to take those next steps of faith. And then we'll take the next step, and then the next one. And then we'll get to celebrate as we're growing more and more like Jesus Christ. That's a work that only God can do. Let me just tell you, biblically speaking, we can't work out our own salvation. We can't make ourselves more righteous or holy. The Bible says that we are to take guard and to work those things, but there's not a work that we can do in our own lives. I can't make myself better. Only God's Holy Spirit in me can do that. But I've got to choose to stop resisting. I've got to choose to say, Lord, I want to jump in. I want to take that next step with You. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me as we conclude our time? You know, as we conclude our time, I want to remind you that the God of heaven is in this place. He is here with us. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, God is here with us. The very same God that raised Jesus to newness of life wants to do the same sort of thing in our lives. For some of you, today will be the day that you decide to jump in. You decide to say yes to Jesus Christ, to start following Him. And we're going to celebrate with you today as you get on base. But for others of us, you've already gotten on base, and now it's time for you to take that next step, one step closer to the things that God has for you. And before we make that opportunity, I want to speak to those of you who are already on base. You've already followed Jesus. And God is challenging you today to take another step of faith. Perhaps God was speaking to you about your spiritual hunger for Him. Maybe you used to be really hungry for the things of God, and somewhere along the way, you ran out of hunger. God wants to reignite that in you this morning. The question is, will you let your foot off the brake? Will you say, Lord, I want to take that next step? Not knowing how or what that's going to look like, but God, I want to take that next step. It's the only person that can commit to learning, to connecting in community, to growing, to discovering your purpose is You. You've got to say, Lord, I want to take that next step with You. If that's you, I want to pray with you right where you're at, that the Lord would just fill you up, fill you with His Spirit, refresh you. Would you pray with me right where you are? Lord, I thank You for Your grace. Jesus, I thank You that You are alive. And because You live, I can live in the newness of life too. Help me to walk in the way that You walked. Help me to take my next step of faith. Even when it's dark and I can't see, future. God, I thank you that you know my future, that you are a good God, and that you have a purpose and a plan for my life. God, help me to walk with brothers and sisters in community. God, help me to discover what you've made me to do, and then finally, Lord, help me to serve others through the gifts that you've given me. Help me to connect, discover. I want to surrender control of all my worries, God, to you. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to make an opportunity. If you've never taken that very first step of faith, you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to help guide you. You've never said, Jesus, I want to follow you with my life. If that's you, I want to take a moment to give you that opportunity. Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So just as a way of connection, with every other head bowed and eye closed, if that's you, you say, hey man, I want to do that. I want to follow Jesus today. I want to have you lift up your head, lift up your eyes, let our eyes meet. I want to just pray a simple prayer with you. If that's you in this room today, would you lift up your head? Yeah, I see you. Thank you. Anyone else in the room? Yes, thank you, I see you. God bless you. Anyone else today in the sound of my voice? Church, can you repeat this prayer with those who are praying it maybe for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life. I choose to follow you and take my foot off the brake. Let you lead. I give you my life and ask you to be the Lord of my life. I choose to follow you now for all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate? Come on. Someone get excited today. Is that all we got? Come on, guys. See, there's something important. The Bible declares that all of heaven rejoices when just one sinner says, I want to start following Jesus. When just one sinner repents and turns. So this is a great day of celebration, but it's not the end. So I want to challenge you, if that was you today and you said yes, you said, I'm going to follow Jesus, your next step is to connect in our growth track called Next Steps. So check that out November 6th. Would you all stand to your feet? I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you leave today. Beautiful day. I see the sun shine out. It's a good day. Our prayer team is going to be available if you have any other needs. You want to pray, you want to agree with someone about something that's going on in your life. We are a praying church because we believe that we've got a God in heaven who can move powerfully. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray blessing over your church. As we leave from this place, Lord, I pray that you'd send us with the power of your Spirit. God, whatever those next steps are for us, help us to take those next steps of faith. God, give us the courage, give us the conviction, give us the boldness to say, God, I trust you with my very next step. We thank you. I pray blessing over these people as I go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.